think you know the Casio G-Shock? Thanks to its legendary toughness and timekeeping autonomy, it's no secret why the mighty G-Shock has earned its place on the wrists of weekend warriors, first responders, and militaries the world over. But there are levels to this stuff, and there's a little-known collection of top-shelf G-Shock watches made for folks who crave the very best for everything in life. Called MRG, this flagship line of G-Shock watches takes the most cutting-edge tech G-Shock has to offer and blends it with the highest levels of traditional Japanese craftsmanship. We're talking about hybrid titanium and cobarian case construction with artisanal armor-like flourishes, all honed like the edges of a samurai sword. Every beloved reference in the G-Shock collection gets the coveted MRG treatment, from the original square case digital reference from 1983 to the beloved analog Frogman dive watch, all the way up to the newest fan favorite, the MRG B2100 with its octagonal bezel and its wild interlocking beams dial. Ready for a deep dive into the MRG collection from G-Shock? Discover the full range this holiday season at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad to receive a special gift with your next G-Shock order.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to the College Football Week 13 Prediction Show, brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Get off the couch and get into the action today with MyBookie.com and turn your love of sports into your new side hustle. You know the rules on this show. We'll go over last week's hits and misses and then get to this week's predictions. Real quick here at the top of the show, D'Anthony. The number two quarterback in the nation, five-star, just committed to Colorado. Would he do this if Deion Sanders weren't going to stay?
I don't know. Probably not. I mean, he's got offers from like 30 schools, I think, including Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So probably not. Maybe that could be a sign, but then again.
Yeah. Look, a lot of people have hit me up about this and said, what do I think? Do I stand by my prediction that he'll be gone after this year? The answer is yes, I do. And with today's college football standards, as far as what these players are doing NIL-wise and flipping schools and commitments and all this other shit, if he flips his commitment later on down the road and goes to some other school, no one will bat a fucking eyelash anymore because that's what we're used to.
Right, well, especially now, if the coach isn't going to be there. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Nobody's going to think any less of him.
Alabama lost, you know, half their team when Saban left.
Yeah. Same thing happened when Homeboy went to USC. He brought a bunch of people with him from, what was it, Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Lincoln.
Lincoln Riley.
That's just the way it is now.
Yeah.
Especially as an incoming freshman. Who fucking cares?
Exactly.
Like that's not a stain in any regard.
Yeah. Other breaking news out of Colorado here. Two-way star Travis Hunter, projected a top pick in the draft, says he will be turning pro after the Buffaloes season here. So he's forgoing the senior season. I don't think any of us are shocked, right? Yeah. He's probably the first pick in the draft.
Yep.
I would definitely take him.
I mean, it depends on who falls at that spot. If it's the Giants, I'm not sure they take him.
Because they need a quarterback?
Yeah, but is there a quarterback that's going to be in the draft this year that you think is a franchise quarterback? That's just a question you have to ask yourself. And then if there's a guy like that, like Micah Parsons was, right? Just a dynamic multi-position. And now Micah plays both on defense. When I say both, I mean he's an edge rushing linebacker who plays like a fucking strong safety sometimes, to be honest, right?
Yep.
If you got a guy like that, do you take a tier two quarterback or do you take the needle? I mean, I would take Travis Hunter over any of the quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah, because you got, in my opinion, you got two that you could take a shot at within the top 10, and that's Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. Everybody else to me, I would not trust. And that's just from a fan perspective of like the Falcons. Like, I don't know. Let's say let's not take Penix with the eighth pick in the draft.
Well, I mean, another thing is that you have to take into consideration is how do other teams value him, and not because you should base your assumptions or evaluation on other people's, but do you think you can get him later? You know, don't burn in a high first round draft pick on somebody you can get in the second or third round. Obviously, that would be dumb.
Yeah, I agree. And as far as that quarterback is concerned, there take Dylan Raiola, who was the number one recruit, who ended up going to Nebraska. First, he committed to Ohio State, decommitted, committed to Georgia after that, decommitted, and then ended up at Nebraska as his third choice. So these aren't out of the question. And then also, oddly enough, Daniel Jones just gave an interview and said he's grateful for his time with the Giants. Jesus Christ. He read a prepared statement, which is odd, saying he wanted to make sure he clearly shared the words and sentiment he felt needed to be aired after losing the starting job to undrafted free agent Tommy DeVito. The opportunity to play for the New York Giants was truly a dream come true. Okay, the word was in that sentence is past tense, so he knows he's fucking gone then, right? And that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much. I'm looking at his contract from a cap breakdown. Let's see the summary. Hang on. Cash. Okay, so he's still owed. I don't know how much of this is guaranteed, but he's still owed $78 million. I don't know if they'll pay that out or how much of that is. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works cash wise. So because he's still owed $78 million in guarantee. Well, I don't know if it's guaranteed money, but it's cash, right? I don't know how this particular website does this. Bob, you can look up and see how much guaranteed money he has, but
yeah,
like when somebody gets injured, hold on, 12 million of the 25 fully guarantees on the fifth league day. Okay, so he's 81 million guaranteed at signing last year, and he's made, he might be done.
He is I think this is the end of his time there.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
As far as
they can pay out the, so if he has, I see two $9 million bonuses, proration bonuses for the next 2 years.
Okay.
25 and 26, they may just pay him that $18 million. I don't think that's a cap hit. The $22 million next year will be the dead cap hit.
Well, the rest of the statement then makes perfect sense, and I'll read it to you. The opportunity to play for the New York Giants was truly a dream come true, and I am extremely grateful for the chance to play here. The Giants are truly a first-class organization, and I have nothing but genuine respect and appreciation for the people who built it and who helped carry on the tradition. Met so many special people and created relationships that will truly last a lifetime. Thank you to all my teammates, coaches, and staff that have done so much for me over the past 6 years. There have been some great times, but of course, we all wish there had been more of those. It sounds like he's being cut tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a weird statement to make with fucking 7 games left in the season.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, I'm looking at the draft, mock drafts from just the past 24 hours, and all of them have either the Giants first or trading to first.
And who do they have?
Shador Sanders.
Okay.
But
at
I don't,
one?
Yep.
Shit.
But I don't know if Deion lets that happen.
To the Giants?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, Arch Manning, not the younger one, but the older one, didn't allow it for Eli.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one in charge of that situation. He said, I don't want my son getting killed out there. Yeah, I'd say Deion would absolutely stick his fucking beak out there and say, fuck the Giants.
I mean, Shador played, he's played 4 full seasons, but 2 of them are JUCO. Is that does he have any eligibility left to play in college again? I don't think he would.
He does.
I think he does.
He's got one COVID year, but he won't. He's gone. The Travis Hunter thing is super interesting because when can you? I mean, Colorado and Deion are totally different fucking beasts. I understand that, but when can you remember a player 4 games before the, you know, and then they're going to the playoffs announcing, "Hey, I'm going pro and I'm all done here." Like, that's a little premature. Usually, it happens the day after, or when you get announced to a bowl game, but. Look, those guys don't give a fuck, you know.
Mm-mm.
Just a new world these days, man. Shador has even said, talked so much shit, even to opposing players and media and shit. He threw his own O-line under the goddamn bus during a presser, which you could never get away with in the NFL. So, yeah, that's just the fucking Colorado way, I guess. So.
Well, this the ESPN mock draft has Hunter going second to whomever's there. The Brown, they have the Browns here, but I think that's probably accurate. I think whoever has the second pick is taken. It would be shocking if the Giants don't trade up because they need a quarterback. It's not going to be Tommy DeVito next year.
No.
And if it is, I mean, you just lose money, right? So the least you can do is put some kind of product on the field and hope, right? Even if you're going to suck that year, you have to tell people, hey, this is going to suck, but here's our plan for the next three whatever years. You know what I mean? You can't throw Tommy DeVito out there and say, oh, this is our plan now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like if you're Shedeur Sanders and you're at home watching this and you're saying to yourself, all right, they got me number one going to the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And not only do they throw Daniel Jones under the bus, but then they skip number two, who's Drew Lock.
Also the way that they handled Saquon.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And then especially,
and it was all on television.
It was all on HBO. Yeah, we all saw it.
Yeah, that's like I think if the Giants decide to fire their GM and hire a new person, fire Daboll and let Deion come in and coach that team, maybe he accepts it.
Is that a possibility?
I don't see why it wouldn't be.
I agree. Right?
Obviously the Giants front office, like I don't dislike Daboll. He's been playing the hand he's dealt. I don't think he's a bad coach.
Yeah, he got fucked in this situation.
But even then, you got to start fresh sometimes.
Same with Salah. He got fucked too with the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, but even then, he's got to get fired.
Yes. The whole thing will go down in the offseason.
I mean, that's just the unfortunate nature of the business. He'll find another job immediately coaching somewhere else. He's a good coach. But yeah, you're not like I don't know why they're running out DeVito and not Drew Lock. I mean, I do know why. It's because they don't want to win any games.
Yeah, they don't want to win.
But you know, they've man. Yeah, the way that they handled all this from the front office is that's nuclear. I don't think Deion will let his kid go anywhere near that.
Unless he's coaching the team. And now that you've said it, I think that's the only way that he could potentially go there.
And it would be a smart move for the Giants and for Deion, to be honest, because they've got Malik Nabers, Darius Slayton, and don't forget that Jalen Hyatt is on that team too, right? Like there's some talent over there.
And if Deion's the coach, you're all in New York. The Giants are beloved in New York. That's the team. Like living there, I'm telling you, they love the fucking Giants. G-men. If you got Shador throwing to Malik Nabers, who is the second best wide receiver behind Marvin Harrison out of that draft, like Jesus Christ.
And to be fair, you're probably going to suck next year and get another like lottery pick for another receiver or an offensive lineman or whatever it is that you need.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be the worst situation. Now a lot of people think that Deion's going to the Cowboys. Also possible.
Or at FSU.
Yeah, could be. If he goes to the pros, I think it's I think it would probably be the Cowboys or the Giants. Outside shot at the Raiders as well, but I don't see it.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Let's say
the Raiders traded up and then they got him to be coach, that would be fun, dude.
Yeah, there's smoke around the Raiders thing. They're not happy with what's going on there right now. But then if you're Deion, I guess having Brady involved helps, but he's a minority owner. He's not involved in the front office in any way, right? You still got to deal with that.
Maybe.
You still got to deal with that family at some point.
Mark Davis? I don't know, man. I bet you they're going to I think he will concede more power to Brady as time goes on.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
We'll see.
I mean, this mock draft has the Raiders taking Cam Ward at 4. I could see that.
I could see that, too. So if he were there and he fell to them, yeah. I can understand that. We'll see how the season plays out, obviously, for everybody involved. And, it's going to be fun. All right, let's go to last week's hits and misses here. First up was Oregon versus Wisconsin here. Look, you're going to – some people online have bitched about Oregon and, hey, they barely won and everything else, blah, blah, blah. Wisconsin at night, Camp Randall – really fucking difficult to play there. I've gone to night games there. It's tough. I don't give a shit. You can throw the record out the window there. It's a hard game. They pulled it out on the road. In my opinion, this is still the best team in the nation, and they're getting their wide receiver one back from injury. So they're only going to get better after this. And you're going to pull out games like this on the road. So not a huge shock here in this one. I mean, yeah, the spread didn't cover, so I lost, but I'm not terribly concerned with the outcome of this one. They're well on their way to the Big Ten championship. Next up, Ohio State against Northwestern. Same deal here. They missed that point spread by, I think, a half a point in that one. Told you not to bet it anyways. Too many points in this one. It was at Wrigley Field. And yes, I watched the game, and the end zones were very, very close, like we talked about last week.
Not as bad as, well, we'll get there in a sec.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the end zones for where the brick walls were, it made me nervous every time they were throwing the ball into the end zone, where I was like, man, let's not throw too deep in this one. And have Jeremiah Smith trying to go for a one-hander in the back of the end zone, because don't want to risk that. And I think Northwestern is playing Illinois on Wrigley Field this weekend too as well. So something to look out for there. Next up is Texas against Arkansas. Had Arkansas plus the points here in this one. This was close, 20-10 here. Again, Arkansas is a tough place to play. This was a rivalry, and now has been renewed since Texas moved over to the SEC. Not really a big shock here for me on this one.
Bob. I mean, Texas just couldn't convert on third down in this game for some reason. I mean, Arkansas is scrappy. That's probably why. But 4-for-14 on third down, this should have been like a 35-10 game, to be honest.
Yeah, and if you're a Texas A&M fan, you probably look at this and be like, cool, let's bring them up to College Town or whatever the fuck they call
Station.
It. That's it, College Station, and let's get wet on a night game, because I believe that is the night game, because Ohio State Michigan is going to be the noon game yet again. Penn State Purdue, I guess, was 34.5. They covered on this one. We told you they would. Purdue's terrible.
What the hell though is going on with the Purdue ground crew?
Don't know.
Like, that the way they paint their end zone is crazy. And also, there's just like a random orange cone behind it. Like, Bob, throw up a picture of it. You don't have to play the video or anything.
It's really fucking bizarre. I don't know if they're doing construction or something, or they just don't give a fuck anymore.
I don't, the team maybe is, it's always like nine. This. I don't know. There's a better.
Yeah, find the other angle if you can. But I saw that too, and it was just as strange as I thought. And I was like, what the fuck is going on there?
Yeah, there we go. I mean, you just play this video. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So this guy. We'll just play the still.
Yeah.
So he thinks he's, because it's not green, he thinks he's in the end zone, and he's out of the back of the end zone. You can't see it from this angle, but just to his back right, there's an orange cone that could be a pylon there too.
Right.
So this kid like looks at the cornerback, and he's like, yeah, I did that. And the cornerback just like, no, you didn't.
But no, and like, and if you look at this, Bob, go back to that picture. Not only is there the white line there where the actual pylon is, but then there's another white line behind him. So, yeah. You would think that you're in the end zone at that point.
You want to make it pretty clear what is and isn't inbounds.
And right? If you look at his 2 feet right there, he clearly thinks he's inbounds for a safe catch. Like, otherwise, you would attempt something totally different.
You wouldn't do this at all. You would just let it go by or slap it down or something. What would be even the point?
I don't know. So maybe paint that green, guys. Wake up out there.
Not
Purdue.
That it matters. I mean, they're terrible either way, but still.
It's
kind of embarrassing.
You took away a fucking touchdown for the home team there, and you could have beat the spread with it, and you didn't. Next up, Kansas versus BYU. I believe you guys called it. You guys called this, right? The Libby boys called
this?
Yes. BYU has been teetering on the edge of disaster for, you know, a lot of the season here. We figured they would get upsets along the way somewhere. And I think you guys called this on the show that Kansas would beat them. Why is that? You said Kansas was starting to pick it up over there.
They're getting their shit together, and BYU, I mean, they're not as good as their record, right? They have a great record, and they, you know, credit to them for winning games, but they're not as good as their record. And Kansas is more talented than their record. They're finally starting to get shit together, and look out for them this week too.
Yeah. Oh, of losing. Yeah.
Kansas. I mean, no. Look out for Kansas winning.
Yeah. Well, BYU losing. We'll get there. Next up was Tennessee at Georgia. Got this one wrong with 2 minutes left to go. I had Tennessee plus 8.5, and Georgia scored a touchdown with 2 minutes left. It was the right thing to do, but it just sucked for me gambling-wise. But I'm not terribly shocked by this outcome. I don't know. I both of these teams, it's a mystery to me.
I took the under 48.5.
Did you really?
And I won by a half a point.
I didn't touch that under, but it's both of these teams, man. Only 17 points for Tennessee. Don't really get it. I mean, Georgia's got a decent defense front seven wise, but I don't have a secondary. I don't know. I don't know what to do with either of these teams, to be honest with you. It'll be interesting to watch them in the playoff because they might both potentially get there. But I don't know if these teams could compete for a national championship, personally. Next up was Virginia against Notre Dame. Notre Dame won by 3 touchdowns there, and they continue to roll. 5 turnovers for Virginia. Obviously not going to get the job done there. So sorry about it, but Notre Dame is not in a conference. Therefore, they will not be getting a bye in the playoffs. However, they'll probably get a home game, one would imagine, unless they lose to Army, which we'll get there.
Yeah.
Mercer versus Alabama. Is this televised anywhere, or do they just kind of play it on an Etch-a-Sketch? I don't even think they bothered to put this on the SEC Network.
Yeah, you know. SEC Network Plus, got to find the ESPN app.
This game was simulated.
That's what it feels like. I feel like they didn't even play in real life, and it was kind of a joke on us, where they just popped up a score of like 52-7, and they're like, oh, yeah. That makes sense. You know, it's a Division II school. Okay, cool. Next up, always bet on Boise. 42-21 there. Genty, 159 yards, 3 touchdowns. Still in the Heisman conversation. We'll see what happens with Travis Hunter, you know, in the last few weeks of this. But 32 carries. They're not stopping.
Mm-mm.
They're not stopping.
I mean, they can't. That's their offense. So
yeah. But they were up big, and they didn't really have to play them, but they did in the fourth quarter. So stack those numbers. Next up, Boston College, I guess, SMU. Took Boston College. This was a push. It was 10 points there, and SMU won this game. And they got a gripe, which we'll talk about when we get to next week's rankings here, in regards to Miami and the ACC. We got New Mexico State against Texas A&M. Who cares? 38-3. We all knew this was going to happen. Let's give us Texas at the end of the year, and let's figure some shit out. Arizona State over Kansas State. Now, I think all of us picked this game.
I took Arizona State money line.
Yep. This was the easiest one of the week to me. Arizona State is a good fucking team, man. And they weren't even ranked last week.
They don't get like huge recruits or anything. It just has to be a really well-coached team, I guess.
Because
every, like, the last 3 years especially, they've been competitive. They always chip somebody up.
Yep. And Kansas State has now got 3 losses. Are they knocked out of the Big 12 championship now?
Yeah. Yeah, I probably would take insane chaos for that. They're done.
Yeah, they're done. Next up, Colorado absolutely dismantling Utah here. I was shocked by this. Utah's got a pretty decent defense. And they hung 49 on him there. Shadur had 340 and 3 touchdowns. Travis Hunter did it on both sides of the field. He got an interception, made the Heisman pose, which was fun, and then got a massive reception where Shadur just threw it up between 3 guys, and he leapt up into the air like Superman and brought the ball down, and it was awesome to see. This kid is really fucking special. But beating Utah by that much, I was shocked by. Next up was Washington State. Oh, man, the Pac-2. One of the last remaining members of the Pac-2 lost to New Mexico there.
Yeah, it's an out-of-conference game, obviously.
Yeah, it's not great, though, because there's only 2 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other one left?
Oregon State.
Oregon State, that's right. And they should just play each other every week next year.
I don't think – yeah, they do have them listed. They're both – do they even play each other this year?
I hope they do.
Yeah, this week.
Oh, do they really?
So that'll be the Pac-2 championship game this week.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And they deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck them. Fuck those other kids. Next up, Louisville. Look, I said Louisville's a fucking fraud all year, and they proved it yet again. They lost their 4th game. They're 6-4, for Christ's sake.
Louisville just has athletes, no stars, and not a great coach, right? That's what that is. They get athletes there.
They do.
Always.
Look, Lamar Jackson was there.
They might put a fucking receiver into the NFL here and there. you know, but it's, I don't think they're ever going to be a great program.
Really. I told you this team was fucking garbage all year. Four losses.
You can't lose to Stanford, even at Stanford. No, you can't lose that
three,
game.
Stanford's 3-7. It was their third win of the year. Next up, Clemson pulled this off against Pitt.
Pitt's tough at home. I don't read too much into this. I mean, Clemson's teetering on the edge of being done anyways, but I didn't read too much into this.
You know what? When I read into this fucking game is that both of these teams are probably the same. Dead serious. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything of Clemson at all.
No.
And this is exactly what I thought this game was going to be. And it's strange because Dabo Swinney, now you're looking at a 4-point victory over Pitt. And you're like, yeah, we should go to the fucking playoffs. And they still have a shot at it. They still have a shot to go to the fucking playoffs, which is nuts to me.
Yeah, so Clemson, for those who don't remember, only has one conference loss.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so if they beat...
What? And their other loss is against Georgia, which is the top 10 team.
So. Yes. And yeah. if they lose to South Carolina in rivalry week, they can still make the ACC championship. And then obviously could still win the ACC championship and then would make the playoff.
Correct. And I think it's going to happen. Because they'll play SMU, right?
I don't know what the situation is right now. SMU is definitely in the driver's seat because they're undefeated in the ACC.
So all they have to do is continue it. And then, yeah, they would play Clemson. I think Clemson would beat SMU and then they would be in. And it would be probably because I think they'll lose to South Carolina. It'll be a 3-loss Clemson team going to the playoffs. And that's going to suck up a spot and people are going to be pissed off.
Maybe we'll see. I mean, I don't think they're going to, if Miami's got Wake Forest and at Syracuse left, if they win both those games, they're 7-1 in conference, just like Clemson.
And I'll look up what the ACC tiebreaker is.
Yeah, look at the tiebreaker.
I don't know what it is, but if it's point differential and shit, Clemson's obviously probably going to win that.
I think I remember hearing that it was Clemson that would get in there.
Yeah. So, that's the most likely scenario because Clemson's played, It's played all of its conference games. They're done 7-1 in conference. They play the Citadel and then they play USC, yeah. South Carolina rather. Next,
so head to head is number one. Obviously, if there's no head to head, which there is not, it's winning percentage against all common opponents.
Okay, so yeah, Clemson's going to get the nod.
May I don't know. I'm not doing all that math.
I did it already in my head. A lot of people compare me to Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind.
Let's see, Miami didn't play Georgia, or let's see, did Miami play App State? Nope. Did Miami play NC? Well, I mean, I guess you would have to do it based on, who did they lose to?
Who they lost to. So Clemson lost to Louisville, did who Clemson Miami
play,
beat.
But Clemson didn't play Georgia Tech, so maybe it is Miami, I don't know.
We'll find out.
If Louisville's their only common opponent with a loss, then, yeah, I guess that would be Miami.
I think Miami would get the nod, yeah.
Yeah. So probably Miami. I don't think SMU is losing.
We'll find out. We'll find out. Next up is Missouri at South Carolina. This is the funnest game of the week. Condolences to Bob on this one, but it was a blast of a game for the average fan to watch here. Mm-hmm. Man, whenever you're scoring 31 points in the fourth quarter, back and forth, blast of a game. Yeah, man, South Carolina's a good team. Missouri after this is Brady Cook gone? What?
Yeah, he's out of eligibility.
I would imagine Brady Cook Luther Burden's probably going to the NFL. Right?
Luther Burden's going to the NFL, and then Theo Weiss, our other like really good receiver, is also out of eligibility.
How about your running back? Is he going to the NFL too?
He's not going to the NFL, but I think Noel. I don't know what his situation is.
Yeah, it's over, Rob.
So like, yeah. Drinkovich probably take the job at Florida, and it'll be a complete rebuild over there. Kidding. Nah, actually, not really. Talk to some people behind the scenes. Florida's trying to figure it out. Although, they're winning, and they beat LSU in this next game. Badly. 27-16 in this one. And if you're LSU, my God, man. Ryan Kelly. I called it in the pre-prediction show in August. Terrible fucking hire, and enjoy him and his fake accents for the remainder of your time there. But it sucks because I love LSU. I love partying there. I want to go back. Tony Tamparello, I miss you and I miss your sandwiches. Know this. Richard Danoff and you have the best tailgates in the world. And we love you guys, dude. Like, I want to go back to LSU. It's so fucking fun there, man. God damn it. I wish they were good. I wish Brian Kelly wasn't there. I'm sorry, you guys. Shit, we're in talks with them, too. Like, I want this to go down. Next up, Tulane, Navy. You guys love Tulane back there. I never follow this team, full disclosure. Are they going to the playoff? What's their fucking sitch?
They can.
No.
They just need to win their conference, beat Army, and then Boise lose to UNLV.
In the conference, yes. Boise and UNLV should be in the Mountain West Conference Finals. If UNLV beats Boise, Boise's knocked out, UNLV probably won't get in. Although UNLV is ranked in the CFP this week. And then if Tulane beats Army in their championship, especially if Army beats Notre Dame, then Tulane is for sure in.
But it'll be between UNLV Tulane.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine an Army team that beats Notre Dame and loses to Tulane, right?
Yes. That would be shocking. But
then again, with that style of offense, it's like any given Sunday. You never know, man.
Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois. They never did. Forget.
I never forget that loss, dude. Matter of fact, I would love to bring it up on every show going forward for the remainder of this podcast. As long as we're on the air, dude, and there's a fucking will inside my body, Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame badly.
At home.
At home, dude. At home. Storm the field there. Shock the world. Shock the nation. All right, let's get to the sponsors, and then we'll get to this week's prediction. As always, we're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. For the day one homies, Bob, what do they get?
You're in the MyBookie Plus Rewards program, so what that does first and foremost is you earn a lot of points whenever you make bets. A point per dollar for straight bets. If you're doing parlays, teasers, it's like $3, two to 3 points per dollar, depending on the bet. You get points for playing in the casino too, and all those points accrue. You get certain rewards, including rakebacks.
Yeah,
which is if you have a bad week, they'll toss you some money back.
Love those rakebacks. I've had to use them. Oh man. God, I hate to say it. I've used them, I think, 4 or 5 times this year on those rakebacks, man. I've had some really great weeks and then some really shitty ones, man. It's been a wildly up and down season. I'm close to even, but only because of like a massive bets on Trump. I won, what was that, $7,500 and then the max bet on the popular vote and all that shit. Like, but I mean, there's been some ones that have saved my ass this year. I'm close to even, but I need the rakebacks, okay? And we love it because I love to have money on this shit or else I don't really fucking care. And this is the week to do it, man. There's a lot of bangers this week to bet on here, which we'll get to in a second. Head on over to mybookie.com. Use the promo code DRINKINBROS to double that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Next up, we got DRINKINBROSTICKETS.com. You want tickets to any of these games, man, they're really cheap. Even this Indiana Ohio State game is $89, which for Ohio State is pretty cheap these days. So, head on out there, dude. You can see some top ranked matchup. Miami, if you're a Miami fan, number 8 in the nation, tickets are going for $17 for lowers. You can sit right behind all your favorite players for Miami for $17 over there. So take advantage of it. We also do concerts, rodeos, comedians, any single event in the world that sells tickets. We do it. It's about $10 cheaper than StubHub. Head on over to DrinkinBrosTickets.com. And then last but not least, we got HardAFSeltzer.com. Told you about signing the 3-year deal with Penn State. We got the Penn State merch on the site up there for Hard AF Seltzer. We're with them for the next 3 years. Personalized cans, all that stuff on drinkingbros.com. Also, we have left 30% of the company open to you for Hard AF Seltzer at wefunder.com/HardAF Seltzer. Bob will put that up on the screen. Reservations are filling up very quickly, so head on over there and invest in the company. If you're going to drink it, if you're going to post it, if you're going to support us in all of these states out there, you might as well own a piece of the company at wefunder.com/HardAFSeltzer. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, hey, man, I want to invest, I haven't tried the product yet, go to the store locator on HardAFSeltzer.com, enter your city or zip, take you to the location nearest you. Look for the green apple in the box, the one that's on D'Anthony's desk right there. Those are the brand new flavors. Decide if you like it and then invest in it afterwards. They all taste like liquid Jolly Ranchers. They're amazing. Check it out on HardAFSeltzer.com. All right, let's get to this week's picks here. Friday night game. Junkie shit. Hands up. Let's go. I have a feeling they left UNLV in at 24 just because it's a Friday night game, and they're like, let's bet on this. They're playing at San Jose State. This is UNLV -7.5. D'Anthony, who you got?
I have no idea.
This is a great game.
It is. Over under. When you see an over under of a ranked team that is 60.5, you know they're going to fucking put some goddamn points up on the board here. It will be raining, it looks like, so we'll see in San Jose.
It doesn't look like either of these teams throw the ball very much.
They just fucking run, dude, and they don't play defense. So, yeah. But yeah, dude, I'll knock this down a half a point. Give me UNLV here at -7. You guys follow these teams more than we do. Who you got in this one, Delco and Bob?
Dude, UNLV, running Rebs. We're on pace for the Boise Clash.
Here we
rematch.
Are.
It's going to happen. Yep. They're actually going to beat Boise in the rematch. They're going to win.
Don't say that. We always bet on Boise here on the show.
So this is, Bob. I have a feeling UNLV is going to make the playoff, and let me tell you why. As a cursed Missouri fan, we fired UNLV's coach Barry Odom 4 years ago.
Always talking about yourself.
And Barry Odom, by the way, an alum of the University of Missouri, took over before he was ready. Not really his fault. Anyway, we thought we were going to make the playoff this year. We're not. UNLV and Barry Odom are going to get into the playoff, and I'm going to hate my life.
Also, wow. What a story, right? Their quarterback leaves because they didn't pay him, and they have a better quarterback now.
Yeah, wild story. So did the running back. The running back left as well because he wasn't paid the NIL money, allegedly. And maybe if Drink goes to Florida, maybe you hire Barry Odom back, Bob, and it's a nice reunion for you guys. At Missouri there.
There is another reason I am thinking that UNLV does it. Guy Fieri. Fuck, I was looking for a sideline.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Guy Fieri?
Guy, this is not from this year, but Guy Fieri, UNLV alum, has been on the sidelines for a lot of the year.
No way, dude. Is that where he went to school? Is he from Vegas?
He's not from Vegas, but he went.
I thought he went to Cincinnati.
Nope. He is a UNLV running Reb alum. He was an ATO there.
God damn it. I mean, all of this makes me love him more. You're just making me love him more.
Yeah, this is Guy Fieri's alma mater.
Look at that, Dan. Look at him with the cheerleaders there. Yeah. Oh, boy.
That's nice. Good for him.
I think this is why he often rocks the red and black.
For a rep in his school.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot.
For some reason, isn't he from Ohio? Because they were going to rename...
He's from Flavortown. California, I think.
Yeah.
Flavortown. They wanted to name Columbus Flavortown. Double check that. He was born in Columbus. Yes, there you go.
He currently lives in California, but I think he might have grown up in California.
Mm. Yeah, but it's where you're born, and that's important.
Based on the look, I would say he's probably from California. That looks like
this looks like Vegas.
Sure. Well, Vegas or California.
So he was born in Columbus. He grew up in Ferndale, California.
Where the hell is that?
Humboldt County.
I was thinking like Fresno or something. Oh, that's north.
Ooh,
that's way up north.
That's some real white trash shit up there.
He's a Warriors fan too. Big Warriors fan.
Yeah, there's nothing else up there.
There's nothing else up there, dude. It's a fucking...
I mean, it's Warriors, 49ers, and Giants up there.
Yeah.
Ferndale, I've never heard of
believe
that.
Believe it or not, the man who looks like this has always been a Raiders fan.
Oh, get out of here. You don't say. You don't say. Speaking of Columbus, Ohio, and Flavortown, that is our next game here. This is Indiana at Ohio State. In Columbus, Ohio, another noon game. Friends, for the 2-5 team in the nation here. This spread has been all over the fucking place, man. This opened up at 13.5. When we opened the show and started it, and I put it up on my screen, I refreshed it. It was 12. It is just refreshed again. Now it is back to 12.5. There are a lot of people betting this game. I can tell you why. The starting center for Ohio State tore his Achilles yesterday in practice. He is now out for the year, so they're missing their starting center. Both are linemen on the left hand side, and the backup is also gone for the year. Look, I bet the house on Indiana, full disclosure, at 13.5 on Wednesday after I heard that news here. Help me figure this out, this spread, because Indiana, I've watched twice this year. They've got a really good fucking defense.
Mm-hmm.
They got a very smart coach. Why wouldn't you just load up the left-hand side and just blitz all fucking game long? Penn State did it for a quarter, and they were very successful.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got away from it, and they lost a fucking game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the difference is Ohio State has a competent offense. You know what I mean? Not just the players, but the people calling the plays are also pretty exceptional at doing that. You got to think they're going to adjust at some point. I think... you know, your game plan in the first, second, third, and fourth quarters might be completely different. I don't know. Maybe they just outsmarted themselves instead of just sticking with what. I mean, for me, I would make them burn me at least once.
Yeah.
Before I change it up, right? Mm-hmm. At least once. It's a fucking it's a long game. Four quarters of that game. One touchdown is not going to be the difference early on. If you get burned one time, you can adjust and stuff like that. I don't know, man. I mean, but Indiana's had pretty good success.
Offensively and defensively.
Yeah, they haven't given up a lot of points to many people, and they've scored quite a bit on some teams. In back-to-back weeks, Nebraska was at Indiana, then at Ohio State. They lost to Indiana 56-7. They lost to Ohio State 21-7.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's no transitive property in sports, but certainly Indiana is good. You can't question that. But they don't have any solid – there's no big wins on this schedule. FIU, Western Illinois, UCLA, Charlotte, Maryland, Northwestern, Nebraska is probably the best team they played, frankly, talent-wise. And then Washington and Michigan State and Michigan. Now, they executed against Michigan. They did all the right stuff to win the game.
Michigan's got a very good defense.
Yeah, but it's
no offense.
They haven't played anybody just even approaching Ohio State's caliber yet. Not even close.
Unfortunate. They played the two teams in the national championship last year.
Yeah.
And both of them are terrible.
Ohio State's good, but
No. Ohio State wasn't in the national championship last year. It was Michigan versus Washington.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they are both terrible.
This just comes down to Vegas thinks, and correctly, I guess, that Ohio State has dudes.
Indiana doesn't.
Indiana don't.
If Ohio State blows out Indiana, they're out of the playoff.
Yes.
You mean Indiana.
Indiana. I've been reading this online. Other people say otherwise. They think a one loss to the number two team in the nation isn't bad.
If it gets ugly, they're fucking out.
What's the number for it to get ugly?
30 plus.
Okay.
So if they lose by 21, they're still okay?
Yeah, it depends how it looks. Yeah.
If it's a late 21, right?
Then yeah, fine.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's the committee's going to look at it and be like, if they were down by 35 all game.
And then garbage time it up to 21 versus it's a 7-point and then Ohio State just lands a knockout blow. And all right, fair enough.
Yeah, because and here's why we're going to focus on this game the most in this show is because this is going to either eat up another playoff spot with Indiana getting in or with Ohio State, let's say they lose this game at home potentially. That'll be two losses. They're going to beat Michigan next week because Michigan doesn't have an offense. I think Ohio State is in. Indiana would easily be in at that point. Oregon would be in, and then Penn State would be in. That's four teams from the Big Ten.
Check it out. Penn State's losing this weekend.
They're not losing this weekend to Minnesota. We'll get there, but a lot of eyes are on this game. Me personally, this is too many points. I think this is a 7-point game.
Mm.
Look, as a fan of Ohio State, obviously, I would love for it to be a blowout. I just don't understand how you can lose linemen and keep winning. I don't get it. We'll take the Chiefs game. The Chiefs lost their two fucking linemen in that Super Bowl game against the Buccaneers.
Different sport.
They got destroyed.
Though. Different sport.
The talent gap in NFL, especially in the Super Bowl, is quite a bit narrower than this. Ohio State's got dudes. And Indiana just doesn't.
It would not surprise me if the person replacing your lineman this week for Ohio State is such a high-rated recruit that he would maybe be starting for Indiana.
Potentially, yeah. He did play for us last year and was the center. So, yeah, I guess it's fine, but at what point does that catch up to you? As fans, let me ask you guys this. What do you hope happens? Because I think Delco, you were saying it behind the scenes, you do not want to see Indiana in the playoffs at all.
I didn't say that. I said chaos. So, I mean, Indiana, I want Indiana to win because they're fun. It's just a lot of people are shitting on them right now because they want as many SEC schools in as possible. Because they're like, if Georgia had Indiana's schedule or if...
No, Texas no, if like South Carolina had Indiana's schedule.
Yeah, would they be in? Would South Carolina be in? I agree with that.
South Carolina would be undefeated.
I agree with that because you just read it off. And after you said it, I was like, yeah, South Carolina would be top five in the nation right now.
I
personally hate the SEC, so more Big Ten teams, the better.
What just because you're not, just because you're not invited.
No, because they're fucking just gay about it.
You ain't played nobody, Paul.
The SEC's like, oh, we should get like seven teams in because we have the hardest schedule. How about you like finish in the top four of your conference?
How about you play in a real league?
There you go. And that's what the debate is online right now then, on like, Twitter and everywhere else, which makes this game so much fun.
Then, like, if we're just going to put every SEC school in, just make your own league. Just go play.
They're close. They're close to doing that. Both the SEC and the Big Ten want four auto bids for a 12-team playoff going forward.
I think
see what happens.
They basically have four auto bids because
you don't need to have an auto bid.
That's what I
just let
agree.
It play out. Yep.
The two.
I agree.
The two participants in the championship game for each league are going to make it undisputedly.
So why even create the conditions where people can bitch about who gets in and who doesn't? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they only got in because it's an auto bid. It's like this year, if all those teams from the SEC make it in, it'll be because of the way they played.
Correct. Right? Yeah.
I mean, that's just the end of it. Like if Texas and A&M and Georgia and Tennessee all make it, or swap one of those out with either Alabama or Ole Miss, four of those teams make it, or if South Carolina backdoors somehow, which, by the way, that's not out of the question right now.
Yeah.
That's not out of the question for them to backdoor their way in if some shit goes the right way. That you earned your way in. So what the fuck are you talking about? You
know, I agree.
It's other than Oregon, I don't see anybody outside of the Big Ten, or I'm sorry, anybody outside of the SEC that's going to be a huge challenge for some of these SEC schools. That's the way it feels. I could be completely wrong about that, but right now it feels like it's the SEC and everybody else.
I think you and I went to the best. I think we saw the best two teams in the nation at Oregon, Ohio State. I think offensively and defensively, they're the most complete.
That is correct.
I think, and it wouldn't shock me unless something happens here, obviously, but it wouldn't shock me if they played, you know, the Big Ten championship and then again for the national championship potentially. But I don't know that anybody wants to see teams play three times in a row. I'm not a big fan of that personally, but we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. Other than that, though, I have taken Indiana, and I think Ohio State wins by a touchdown. I think Ohio State wins, but I think this game is very, very close the entire time because of the offensive line situation at Ohio State.
Well, hopefully it doesn't come down to the last minute with the ball in Will Howard's hands.
I mean, he's got a slide?
Or anything.
Well, that Indiana defense, I would put my money on the Indiana defense over Will Howard, but who knows?
Hey, they got a great defensive end. It's the same way that Penn State did, and if they line them up, this is a tough game. I got it 7, so I took Indiana plus the points. Next up, we got Wake Forest at Miami. This is Miami minus 25 here. Over-under is 66.5 in this one. They're currently ranked 8 and in the playoffs. So you got?
I'm not betting 25 points. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
I mean, Miami will obviously win this.
Miami is going to win this game, but 25 is too much. I agree with you.
But they still have Miami's got a this. They have at Syracuse as well. Not that that's a challenge. I'm just saying they have two more conference games.
Yep. And Syracuse could be tough. Is it on the road?
Yeah. Yeah, it's at Syracuse.
Yes. Look out for that Syracuse game.
Honda McCord, you know, hit and miss that dude. We'll see.
Even if they lose that game, I don't know that they get bumped, to be honest.
From the playoffs?
Yeah, because they'll have beaten Louisville and Clemson lost to them, so I still think they have the tiebreaker there.
No, they would have two conference losses.
And Clemson only
right.
Have
they
one.
Lost to Georgia Tech, that's right, yeah. So, yeah, Clemson would leapfrog them in that event. Yeah.
If Miami loses another regular season game, they're out. They're gone.
Yes. Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
And SMU's just got the one at Virginia this week. And actually, no.
They play Cal and Virginia.
Cal's a fucking ACC team, too. So how are they going to end up? Oh, I see. Yeah, so they have.
SMU hasn't lost yet.
Yeah, they have Virginia and Cal, but they're not going to lose either one of those.
Oh, I think they will.
They're not going to lose at Virginia, and they're definitely not going to lose at home to Cal. That's not happening.
At home to Cal to clinch an ACC champion spot?
Yeah, can you imagine losing that game?
Oh, that's
rough. Unless Cal brings back that Aaron Rodgers team, that ain't happening.
I don't know. We'll get to it. No. We'll get to it. Next up, we get Ole Miss at Florida. Ole Miss minus 11.5. Look, Lagway is back. They just beat LSU at home. This is a game I would not sleep on if you're Ole Miss in this situation. They're 5-5. They're playing for a fucking bowl game. The head coach is trying to save his job down there.
Well, allegedly it's saved. Yeah. Allegedly. They've said that they're keeping him.
Allegedly. So we'll see.
They're going to make a bowl game because they got Florida State next week. But I honestly, I kind of like the Gators here.
So
I love the Gators
here. I'm taking the Gators plus 11 and a half. What are you doing?
I'll probably take the over. I think this over hits pretty easy.
55 and a half?
Yeah.
They'll be certainly slinging the fucking ball here. So Jackson Dart is still in the Heisman conversation. By the way, same way with the Cam Ward thing for Miami. I could see them beating that minus 25 because Cam Ward's still stacking stats to be one of the top five in New York. So it wouldn't shock me. It's just a lot of points. But in this one, yeah, give me Florida plus 11 and a half. They've been playing. They've been getting better as the season goes on. And this Lagway kid might be the dude here for the future. So we'll see. It's a noon game out there in the swamp. Tickets are $34. DrinkingBrosTickets.com. Next up, we got SMU at Virginia. This is SMU minus 10. D'Anthony, who you got?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Okay. Taking SMU in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia money line. I'm doing it. I'm not kidding.
That's a spite.
You
I'm not kidding.
Can be a hater on them ponies all you want, but I'm staying gold.
I know you are. I know. I'm taking Virginia money line in this one. They've kept it close in some of these games here, and you know, I don't believe SMU is kind of barely getting through. One of these games is going to get them, I think, dude. And I think it's somebody weird like Virginia. And I hate Virginia. I hate that school. I hate the whole fucking, that basketball championship they got was the worst. It was the worst team I've ever seen in my life.
What was that, like 2013 or
something? Every game was like 44 to 42. It was fucking boring as shit.
No, it wasn't that long ago. It was like 2019. Yeah,
exactly. Maybe it was 17.
Yeah, and it was just, every game was like 52 to 48. I'm not kidding. It's the most boring team. I don't like anything about it. And I just think it's a weird muck-em-up fucking team. I think they'll pull this out, and it's going to be fucking weird. SMU's been living on the edge here, and this is one of those where I think they go down, and I think it's a shocker here. And it's an early game. Nobody's really going to be paying attention to it. And then you're going to see that ticker at the bottom of the screen and be like, whoa, Virginia's up by 7 in the fourth? I'll watch this. Mm-mm. And then I think they blow it.
SMU by like 30.
Okay. Look, I'm not kidding. I'm taking Virginia moneyline.
They've beaten the shit out of most of the bad teams they've played.
Virginia's not bad, though. Like, they're just there. They're 5-5, 3-3 in the ACC. Like, they're always just right there. So, like, this is a team that if they just stay there, they could end up winning a close game at the end. And for that reason, I'm going to take it. Not because of my hatred for a spite pick or SMU. SMU has played on the edge here. And they should have already lost two games at this point, so fuck it. Next up, you got Illinois at Rutgers. Illinois minus 1. Let's show the Illini some respect here. That's crazy to me, D'Anthony. Who you got?
I mean, yeah, I'll take Illinois's got a bunch of athletes, so I'll take them here. But, you know, Rutgers knocked off Minnesota. Not that they're great or anything, but it's a quality team. At Maryland, they won last week. They're on a winning streak right now.
Yeah. I got Illinois as well. This is only $1. Tickets are $13. So if you're there and you're in New Jersey, weather's going to be 50. That's nice for New Jersey this time of year. Head on out to the game, man. There's like at least it's something to do. You can take the kids to have fun, get great tickets and watch football and get them off of iPads or YouTube or whatever the fuck they're doing, dude. But yeah, give me the Illini and they roll in this one. And good for them, dude. Nice to see them back in the rankings. Basketball team is ranked. Hardy F. Seltzer's in all the stadiums for the next 3 years. Let's fucking go. Next up, you got UMass at Georgia. You taking UMass money line here?
Yeah, well, I don't understand a lot of stuff about this. One, that there's even a spread at minus 42. But how is this the SEC Network early game? Like, who got... Did they... What? I don't understand.
Who the fuck watches the SEC Network?
Yeah, this is about as low as you can get on the totem pole for broadcast.
Hey, guys, they didn't go to SpinCo, okay? They didn't go to SpinCo earlier.
Well, Don Brown's gone, so maybe the UMass...
Minutemen.
The Minutemen will be all fired up because their coach just got fired.
Yeah, to be honest with you, do you know why these networks will stay on the air? Because all the diehard fans will watch them. Like, I'll still switch over to Big Ten to watch Ohio State and Peacock and bullshit like that. So, yeah, the ratings will show for games like this. Like, Georgia fans will still watch this game, even though it's UMass at minus 42. Is this their second to the last game of the year for Georgia?
They do this every year. Like every SEC school before their rivalry game, they play some dog shit fucking like FCS.
Some of them
school.
Do, yeah.
Or like, I mean, they're technically UMass is independent. So.
Yeah. They
played
Mercer last
Mercer, week. Yeah. And then this week, I think South Carolina plays Wofford, which is in Spartanburg, South Carolina. It's nobody knows where the fuck that is.
D2 school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clemson does it too. They play the Citadel this weekend.
They do that every year, I think. Yeah. I think they play the Citadel every year.
That's at least like kind of a
rivalry.
Yeah.
It's in the same state.
Yeah. They're both South Carolina.
But then again, so is Wofford.
Wofford, dude. Let's go Wofford.
Wofford and South Carolina are probably about an hour and 20 minutes apart. So I'm like,
Wofford by 1,000, dude.
So I actually hate the way this scheduling works, and I wish they wouldn't do it. It's a SEC thing in particular, but the difference is they'll catch conference games in week 2 or 3,
yep,
which I don't like. I like when Missouri was in the Big 12, I loved that we had 4 non-conference games. And then started conference play.
Get it out of the way. Once you start conference play, it should only be conference.
Yeah. Yes. Especially because, too, like it's almost like a preseason. Like you'll have 1, maybe 2 good non-conference games and 2, you know, crappy non-conference games to kind of get like warmed up. And then you're good to go. I fucking hate having to play an SEC school in like week 2 or 3 before your team's like fully gelled.
I agree. And like that's the way the Big Ten does it. So they put the, you know, 2 fucking stinkers up first. Like Ohio State will play in Akron or a fucking Marshall or a Western Michigan and then get into play. Once they're into play, it is all Big Ten the rest of the way. I agree with you. I think that's the way it should be done. Or just eliminate these schools altogether. Like, let's not play UMass. Same with the Ohio States and all that other shit. Let's not play these fucking schools anymore and just go 9 conference games and then somebody in a Power 5 thing. I'm sure Georgia will cover this 42. I just don't bet this in real life, you.
No, hell no.
No.
I mean, but then again, I'm also not putting money on Virginia to beat SMU.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's a big boy game there. You guys are going to eat your fucking words, dude, on this show. Eat your words.
I'm going to use the money I save from not making that bet to buy a steak, and I'm going to eat that instead.
In front of my face?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough. Next up, UTEP at Tennessee.
It's another one.
Yeah, it's another D2 school. Same spread, 41.5. Georgia's 42. Tennessee needs to cover this. They're at 11 now, so they gotta fuck. Who do they close out with? Tennessee?
Vandy.
Woo!
Which is right down the street, but still. Ooh. This isn't your grandfather's Vanderbilt.
You know, Vandy's,
I mean, not.
It's not your grandfather's.
And they're gonna be playing
seat.
For a playoff spot there. That's gonna be a great game.
They're not ranked, are they?
No.
Not anymore.
No, they're feisty, though.
But they are feisty as fuck, I believe, in contention for a bowl game.
No, they're in the bowl game, yeah. But
they want to, it's a rival. Like, they're going to want to keep Tennessee out.
Yes. They're going to play their asses off for this game. I guarantee it, dude. Guarantee it. So, yeah, Tennessee probably covers. I don't bet this in real life. Same thing as before.
Actually, if you want a good bet on this game or a solid bet on this game, the over 52.5, Heupel might hit that by himself.
Yeah, if you want to look at props for Sampson, Tennessee's running back, he's probably going to have 250 fucking yards in this game, to be honest.
Yeah, he should. And he's another one, man. We've not heard him for Heisman at all, but if you look at his numbers, he's got 1,200 yards and 21 touchdowns. We haven't heard his name at all mentioned for Heisman Trophy. Like,
no.
God
he's
damn.
He's averaging 5.6 a carry.
It's nuts, dude.
Put up 100 yards rushing on Georgia. Say what you want to about what the fuck's going on in Georgia this year, but
Georgia's front seven is tough.
The run defense is not the problem.
No.
And he dropped 100 on him. Yeah, I don't think he's had a game all season without 100, actually.
It's crazy. We're not talking about a kid for Heisman.
He had 1 at 92. That's his lowest, is 92, and that was at Oklahoma.
Okay. Next up, Kentucky at Texas. 2:30 game here out in Austin. Texas minus 20. Who you got?
To be honest, man, I don't see Texas doing a blowout here.
I don't either.
Kentucky's not great. They're good at home, but not on the road. They're not good. Not that they're good at home, but it's a problem. You know, you got to pay more attention if you go to them.
They're 1-6 in the SEC, which is wild to me.
Yeah. I don't know what their home away record is. I just know at home sometimes they can give people trouble. I don't expect them to give Texas any trouble here, but 20.5. Against Kentucky, like Kentucky wants to grind this down to a halt if they can, right? So that's why the over under is 46.5 and not 50. right?
And it's why it's 20.5 because they think this is probably a 3-score game, which I agree
it's
with.
It's probably right.
No,
but it might be 18.
Right.
You know, I don't know. So probably won't do that. I might tease it up to like 27.5 and take Kentucky or something. Down to 14.5.
Yeah. I'll end up putting Texas in some teasers here, but not betting this game straight up just because it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, look, Texas just needs to coast into Texas A&M next week. What's the point of a blowout at this point? They're ranked number 3.
Yeah. Do you treat this like your third down run play to put yourself in the center of the field so you can kick a field goal. You're not trying to get anybody hurt here.
I agree. And hopefully Texas does that because they're going to need everything they got for A&M for the last game of the year. Next up, Penn State at Minnesota. This is Penn State minus 11.5. D'Anthony, who you got?
I'll take that.
Me too, but
Minnesota money line.
There you go. Why do you say that? Because I got Penn State in this game.
Row the fucking boat. Minnesota at home. Let's go. Money line.
This is they're going to come out swinging. Minnesota
36
is,
degrees here.
It's going to, dude, Minnesota is feisty. I'm fucking telling you. I told you they were going to win at Illinois a couple weeks ago, which they did. They've got a couple decent scalps this year. I really think. This is a I don't think Penn State covers, regardless.
No. They might squeak it out at the end, but Minnesota money line, let's go. Get fucking Penn State out of here.
Man, they got Minnesota and Maryland to close out the year.
This feels like a chaos week.
I don't see it happening. I think Penn State, their defense is just too good. Has Minnesota played a defense this good all year?
They played
Iowa, probably.
Iowa and they scored 14. They put up 27 on Michigan. But that's
all
it.
Right.
As far as defenses go, that's it.
27 against Michigan is not bad, though. Fuck.
They lost 27-24. Oh, no, they put up 24, excuse me.
Okay.
But either way, that's still not bad.
All right. Give me Penn State.
They scored 21 of those 24 in the fourth quarter, though.
Everybody took everybody out.
I'll take Penn State.
I remember that game. Yeah. I remember that game. That was the Brown Jug game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember that game.
Yeah, Minnesota sucks.
It was raining. Yeah, they took out everybody in the fourth quarter.
They beat... USC and everybody thought they were legit. USC was never legit.
No.
Minnesota's also.
You and I
legit.
Hated them from day one.
Mm-hmm. Never forget, Penn State probably should have lost to Bowling Green.
That's true, yeah. Hey, what was it, like 27-24 in the fourth quarter, something like that?
It was close. I know I bet on them and I lost that bet.
I'm just saying, look out for this game. I think this is going to be a nail biter.
You definitely don't want to fucking skip it mentally if you're Penn State. This is not the game to fucking. Minnesota's never that team to fucking. To just assume you're going to win. They're always tough at home.
I think if you're looking at like for Penn State, from their perspective, you got 2 games left in the season because they're not playing in the Big Ten championship, so it doesn't matter anyways. Yeah. All you have to do is close out these 2 games. I just don't see them losing this game.
Probably not, no. Yeah. I mean, I would be shocked if they actually lost the game.
Yeah, same. But yeah, give me Penn State, and this will be in teasers and all that fun stuff as well. BYU at Arizona State. BYU is 14, Arizona State is 21 in the nation. Arizona State minus 3 at home. D'Anthony, who you got?
Well, I thought I was going to be clever and take Arizona State money line with plus points, but apparently not.
No.
Nope. So this is basically just to pick them with a home field advantage.
That's all it is.
Man, I don't know.
So I'm knocking this down to 2.5, and I'm all over Arizona State here. I think BYU loses for the second week in a row. Arizona State is playing well. And in particular, when you have an alumni who's playing at home, this is a big game. He's going to get these kids up for it. And I think Arizona State wins this game.
Well, I mean, BYU better get up too. This decides which one of those 2 teams goes to the playoff.
This is a playoff game.
Championship.
It is, yes.
This is a absolute elimination game.
Whoever wins, and the next game's the same, but only for Colorado. But for the whomever wins this game is in the Big 12 championship, and the loser is out and probably out of the playoff as well, I would imagine. I can't imagine. I don't know how they would get in.
Arizona State lost the week after, they would drop down below BYU because they would have 3 conference losses, and BYU would only have 2.
Do you see that happening, though?
No. No.
Yeah.
Because they're playing at Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona
is really bad.
The other thing that I always look at that I'll keep bringing up is I'm looking at ticket prices on DrinkingBrosTickets.com, and the last row in the stadium is $235 for Arizona State. That hasn't happened in fucking years there. 20 years, maybe?
It should, though, because especially at home, Arizona State is always tough.
No
shit. At least for the last 3 or 4 years they
have. But, like, these are the highest ticket prices I've ever seen for Arizona State in years. So, like, The crowd is clearly amped up. They want to go to this game. They believe in their team. And yeah, dude, fucking Arizona
State. Also, you know why?
Why?
There's a big fucking Mormon. There's a big Mormon population in Arizona.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Dude, why? Any state that touches Utah or has desert is just full of Mormons.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. I didn't
know
that.
There's a bunch in northern Mexico just south of Arizona, too.
No shit. Yeah. All right. Yeah, but I'm all over Arizona State in this one. I like this team. I like that coach. And I actually root for these guys. And also the lovely ladies of Arizona State. We're always thinking about you. Prayers up for you guys, no matter what you're going through out there. Next up, Colorado at Kansas. Ooh, Colorado -3? I thought the spread would be bigger.
Kansas is, they've gotten into a groove now. So this is a pick 'em as well. So you got to, the question here is who executes and who doesn't, who's going to have their team ready and who won't. And does Kansas want to spoil Colorado and specifically Deion Sanders more than Colorado wants to take themselves to the playoff, right?
Yeah.
You got to ask yourself that question. Now, obviously, Colorado's got the dudes and Kansas doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Their Kansas quarterback's good, don't get me wrong, but up and down this year. What's his name? I can't remember the guy's name.
What, Jalen Daniels?
No. The running back for Kansas.
Neal.
Neal. Yeah.
He's good.
He's pretty good, he's too. Good. But Colorado's clearly the better team, but it's home game for Kansas. Execution matters. And it's at Arrowhead, too. So there's going to be
they moved
a gajillion people there.
Yeah.
They'll fill that stadium up, I bet.
Yeah,
this
why
is
not?
The third, I think, KU game this year to not be at KU.
Why is that?
I don't know. They played
They're doing renovations.
Are they renovating their stadium?
Oh, yeah.
That's why they're playing at the MLS stadium.
They play at the MLS stadium, and they've played
at Arrowhead
twice.
That's why Northwestern, by the way, keeps playing its Wrigley Field. They're building a new stadium at Northwestern.
It's not even they play at Children's Mercy. Isn't that in Missouri?
Actually, Children's Mercy is the, I believe it is the women's professional soccer stadium.
Yeah, isn't it? But it's like over near Independence or some shit. Oh, it's in Kansas? Okay.
Yeah.
At any rate, yeah, I think Colorado will win by 3.
I do too. I'm going to knock this down to 2.5. I think with Colorado, especially with Travis Hunter saying he's going pro, they're going to give it all they have for the rest of the year and try to go out on top. And I would be shocked if Colorado loses this game. I think they want it. I think they want to get in. Yeah.
That is in Missouri.
Yeah, there you go.
Wait, what is?
The stadium.
The stadium is in Missouri. It's in Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas. I mean, yeah, it's at Arrowhead.
So. No.
Children's Mercy. Isn't it the one that's over near the baseball stadium?
I think so, yeah.
I don't like to Google the word children's that much, you know, just in case. Obviously, we get raided or something like that. Next up, we got the Citadel at Clemson. No spread because there shouldn't be. Tickets are $14. Nobody cares about this game. Next up, same thing. Wofford. Any shot Wofford upsets South Carolina at home?
No.
I wish there was, dude. Wofford by 80. Can't bet it anyway, so it doesn't really matter. No spread.
I'm sure you can find it somewhere. Just not.
I hope I can. If I find a Wofford spread on my bookie on Friday or Saturday morning early, I'm going to throw some money on Wofford.
It would probably be in the high 40s, low 50s,
I would imagine. Let's do it, dude. Let's do it. I believe in Wofford a lot. Especially now that you just told me where they're from, because I didn't even know they were in the state of South Carolina. Next up, Mizzou against Mississippi State. Oh, boy. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Mississippi State is only getting 7.5 here? What the fuck?
I'm all over this.
Why?
Love Mississippi State money line.
Help me understand this spread and why I'm not betting the house on Missouri.
I don't know. These guys are pissed about that loss last week. Brady Cook's been posting fucking pictures from it all week.
Is he playing?
Yeah, he's playing.
Okay.
They're going to win. They're going to win going away.
They're
going
to get run by Mississippi State and Lebby. Boys are going to fucking throw 45 on you guys.
We're winning going away. They are furious after that loss.
I don't fucking understand the spread at all. I'll bet a lot of money on Missouri in this one. This is dumb. I mean, this is just complete disrespect at this point. Mississippi State is 2-8 and 0-6 in the SEC. What are we doing? Yeah, I'll put a lot of money on Missouri.
Tickets is last row, $5. So
yeah, Missouri's frauds. That's why
we should send Lastro Lopez to this game for $5, dude.
Mm. We're still ranked, baby. We're ranked in the CFP.
If we gave him $20, he'd get 3 beers and a Lastro ticket.
If I gave you $1 million, you couldn't point out Starkville, Mississippi on a fucking map.
No, I don't even know if I could point out Mississippi on a map.
Stark Vegas.
Don't start with that bullshit.
No one has ever said Stark Vegas.
I'm sure people have, actually. The shittier a town is, the more likely it is that somebody uses the first syllable of it, yeah, dash Vegas, to describe it. That's a fact.
Next up, great game. There's some really good games this weekend, sneakily. Like, if you look at this schedule, you'd be like, higher ranked. But you got to remember, the playoffs are a different beast this year because some of these higher ranked teams are getting in. Army, undefeated, 9-0. At Notre Dame.
No, it is not at Notre Dame.
Whoa, where's it at?
It is in Yankee Stadium.
The Bronx.
Whoa. Why are they giving Notre Dame the home field on this one?
It's just the way it works out, but it doesn't matter.
No, it's not. You give the troops home field on this one. You put Army last.
Well, West Point is in New York. The state, no not shit. The city, obviously.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of New Yorkers that are fucking Notre Dame fans. Yeah.
Boo!
Yeah, this is Northeast. Every Catholic's going
to
fucking...
Give it to the troops. This is bullshit. Notre Dame minus 14. Interesting over under, though. 45.5, which is low. Because Notre Dame's been scoring over 45 themselves for the last 6 or 7 weeks here.
This is the first time that Army and Notre Dame have played since 2016.
Is it really?
Which was ironically the same year that Trump got elected the first time. Notre Dame won 44-6 in that game, but this is quite a different Army team. Now, the all-time series. Still bad. Notre Dame 39-8-4.
Okay.
I don't know when the last time they met ranked. I'm guessing it was a very long time ago.
I mean, Army, you know, technically a zombie blue
actually,
blood.
I can look here.
Because Army has quite a few national championships from the 30s, 40s, 50s, I think.
Yeah, it looks like the last
much
time,
deserved. They deserved all of them.
Looks like the
we
last
support
time
the troops on this show.
Looks like the last time they met ranked was 1958, maybe.
Beautiful. That was a great year. It was a great year. I heard from my parents. So
this is the second time they played in Yankee Stadium, actually. Now, obviously, this is new Yankee Stadium, but the first time was 2010. No, it's the same stadium, yeah.
Yeah.
So they played it there in 2010 as well.
Okay.
Interesting. And they played, the 2016 was in the Alamo Dome. Why the fuck would it have been there?
Probably a bowl game.
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
Probably, they used to do that, Alamo, the Alamo, yeah, the Alamo bowl game.
I don't know.
Is everybody healthy for Army? Because I know the quarterback
should
out.
Be fine.
Click the report.
Yeah. Let's look these up because I...
By the way, that Alamo Dome game was just a regular season game.
That's so odd.
Really?
But they... I mean, I'm looking down the list of where they've played all the games. It's been they all do, over the fucking place.
Yeah, they do sometimes meet up just because, A, Notre Dame has alumni, not really in Texas, but all over the Northeast for sure.
They played in old Yankee Stadium.
They've got T-shirt fans, though, like
yeah,
Braves
everywhere.
And Cubs.
They,
like
play, they played in old Yankee Stadium between 1925 and 69, 22 times.
It looks like they played
did West
in
Point
Shea.
Not have a fucking stadium back then or something?
No, they did. This back then, West Point was like elite.
Yeah,
that was when I'm they were saying. There. So why would they play in the Bronx?
Well, it makes sense, I guess, in 41, 42, 43, 44, 45. Maybe, yeah. You know, like it might be for,
For the war. Yeah. We're not in one right
did
now.
Did they even have games then?
Did they know that Biden was going to launch fucking, like, what? I mean, I don't understand this. Because Yankee Stadium has a bowl game already. It's the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah.
It is just for the Northeast Catholics.
They've only actually played at the new West Point, which is Michi Stadium, once in 1973.
That's bizarre, man. And if everybody's healthy for Army, look, Ohio State had to play Army over the years, so I've watched a lot of these games, and in person, too. It's tough, man. If everybody's healthy, kick this up. I'm going to kick this up a half a point. And take Army plus 14.5.
Don't forget they beat Navy 51-14.
Look, Army's good.
No,
Notre Dame did.
Like
two weeks ago, I think.
But Navy's on a downslide here.
3 weeks.
Yeah. Who you got?
No.
Really?
I'm not betting that.
You think Notre Dame's going to blow them out?
I think there's a decent chance that Notre Dame blows them out, yeah.
Dan hates the military. Guys, that's what this is all about today.
Just the cake eaters.
Okay.
Leaf eaters.
Yeah. All right. I just went on the record here. Mm-hmm. I'm taking Army plus 14.5. I think they keep this close, and I think Notre Dame wins. I think they might even win by 2 scores. which is why I'm getting that half a point there. And 14 and a half seems right to me. I think they show up for this game. 46 in New York, it'd be nice. Shit. Tickets are expensive, too. 96 bucks for last row.
I mean, it's in Yankee Stadium, so there's going to be fucking 60,000 people there. Yeah, dude. Or whatever. What is it, 48,000 at Yankee Stadium, I think?
Yeah, I forget, but yeah. Next up, we got Boise State against Wyoming. Want to point out, Boise State is currently projected to get a bye in the playoffs, even though they're ranked 12th right now, which is bizarre to me. This is Boise minus 23. D'Anthony, who you got?
Yeah, I'll take Boise. And keep an eye on Genty in this game. He's currently, what do they got, two games left?
Yeah.
This one and one more.
He's going to hit 1,000 yards or 2,000 yards this game.
He will for sure in this game.
All he needs is 107.
I don't think there's any danger in Barry Sanders' record. He was at 26-28, and that was without a bowl game.
Right.
So that's
very safe.
You're not even getting close to that, I don't think.
No.
No, even if he gets 250 in the next two games, he's still like 300 short.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll take him. What is it? 23.
I'm going to take Boise minus 23. Always bet on Boise. You know the rules on the show. Always bet on Boise. Looking good. Boys of Boise are looking strong this year, dude. As every year they are. Love Boise State. Next up. This is a night game. Alabama at Oklahoma. This would have been fun earlier on in the season, but Alabama minus 13 and a half. D'Anthony, who you got?
No. Come on, Al.
What do you mean?
What's Alabama playing for? Just to stay in the top 25?
Oh, they can make the playoff.
They're
the
seven.
The top 10, I mean.
Yeah, they are.
So they can make the playoff.
But easily. They're not going to, like, if they win this game by a touchdown, they're not getting bounced out of the top 10.
Actually, they have a shot at the SEC championship still.
Yeah.
Yes. No, not technically. The way it works out.
If Texas loses.
A&M would have to lose to Auburn and then beat Texas, which that seems like an unlikely combination. Doesn't
so
it?
Georgia, no, they have the tiebreaker over Georgia. If yes. Texas loses, mm-hmm.
because Alabama,
in.
Yeah, Alabama beat Georgia. Yeah, yeah. They're in.
Yeah, Bama yep. has a job.
Oh, I see.
Fuck ton to play for.
Who won? But did
Bama beat Georgia?
Bama beat Georgia.
Yep.
But if A&M wins and Texas wins this week, and then Texas is two losses, who has the tiebreaker over Texas, Georgia?
Yeah.
And then Bama. Alabama would take it from them.
Yep. You kind of don't want to make the SEC championship.
I know.
Well,
I even with Ohio State, if they lose to Indiana, who cares? You're in the playoffs. Like it's strange, man.
What happens if A&M, everybody wins this weekend, A&M beats Texas. Texas goes down to like 8 or whatever. But Ole Miss is top 10, Alabama's top 10, Tennessee's top 10, maybe Georgia's top 10, Texas and A&M.
So right now,
like, how does that work if they're all top 10, which is statistically possible?
It
right
is.
Now.
Then they're all getting in, baby.
How many is that?
5. There could easily be 5 SEC teams in.
That's 6 actually.
Oh,
and don't discount South Carolina sneaking in there.
They
either.
Could do 6. They could justify 6 SEC schools. Why not?
Wow, dude. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, Alabama, Tennessee has a tiebreaker over Alabama. Bama has a tiebreaker over Georgia. Georgia has a tiebreaker over Tennessee. Ole Miss has a tiebreaker over, I mean, it's a mess right now.
It's a mess.
But Alabama still can very much win the SEC championship, and obviously they need to win out to make the playoffs. So, I mean, they're playing for everything.
Yeah.
If they have 2-loss Alabama's not getting left out with the wins that they have.
Now, Oklahoma did beat Missouri.
No, they did not.
That's what's listed here.
No, they lost to Missouri.
Oh, they did. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're right. 30-23. But it was close.
So here, let me tell you something about that Oklahoma game and why I love Alabama to cover this.
Okay.
Oklahoma had a defensive touchdown. Oklahoma scored 16 points against Missouri. Alabama is going to roll. Oklahoma's offense is fucking terrible.
Yeah, you convinced me now.
I don't know.
Alabama's
losses are at Vanderbilt and then Tennessee.
Two road games.
They're on the road against Oklahoma.
Two road games.
Night game.
Against good offensive team.
Who are their quality wins? Georgia for sure.
Alabama blew out Missouri, beat LSU.
Missouri's quarterback was dead, though.
It's still a solid win.
A fucking zombie.
Let's run down the list. They went into Wisconsin and won by 32.
Wisconsin sucks, though, right?
Winning by 32 at Wisconsin is impressive.
It's tough.
They beat Georgia, great win. They beat South Carolina. They beat Missouri, and they beat LSU. Those are good wins. And by the way, the Georgia win and the South Carolina win are great wins.
I think the South Carolina one is solid. Those are both at home, though. Missouri, that game doesn't even register for me.
That's fine, but
because of the certain, neither is the LSU one, to be honest. Although on the road it's always tough, but the South Carolina Georgia ones are good.
So their two road wins that are quality are by 29 and 30.
So many better wins than like a Texas. Texas has zero.
Yeah, Texas has
wins.
Jack shit, to be honest.
And by the way, look at this schedule.
I still don't understand. So Texas, and this is it isn't a vote, I don't think, and for CFP, right? Is it like the old BCS thing where people just vote?
Or no, it's a committee.
There's a statistical thing in the AP, right?
It's a committee. It's like the NCAA tournament.
So why is Texas ranked third?
Because so far, I mean, they only have one loss.
One loss. That said, it was a bad loss, but.
I mean, Boise State's only got one loss.
SMU's
only got one loss.
Yeah.
Who's Texas beat?
Nobody.
Because Boise State went into
Oregon. That's what people are bitching about.
Boise State went into Oregon and lost by a field goal.
Yeah.
They beat UNLV, too.
I know. That's what Boise State currently has a bye right now.
Boise State literally.
In these new rankings, Boise State has a bye in the playoffs.
No shade on Texas or anything, but I think even Indiana being two spots behind Texas is probably not right. What is this, the eyeball test?
It's kind of right.
It is. That's what they're doing. They're doing the eyeball test.
Texas hasn't beaten anybody.
Right, but Indiana hasn't beaten anyone, and they have like the 106th ranked schedule.
If Indiana beats Ohio State, put them ahead of Texas, but they haven't yet. So.
Exactly. And we'll see on Saturday.
Texas did go at Vanderbilt and win, but it was close. But still, that's a pretty good road win.
Very close.
That's the only one on here that's even impressive.
And that's all they're bringing up in these college football shows that they're doing. So, Bob, you talked me into this. I'll take Alabama minus 13.5.
They need it. And dude, Oklahoma's offense is fucking bad.
Yeah, they're garbage. I'll take it, Bama. You betting this game?
No.
Okay. Next up, we got Texas A&M at Auburn. Sneaky game, which is why this fucking spread is A&M minus 2.5 at Auburn. Woo. Night game. Who you got? ESPN.
Yeah, I'll take A&M. Auburn sucks. The only.
Who have they beat?
They beat Kentucky and and Monroe, and then Alabama, A&M, and New Mexico. They're terrible. Anytime they played a good team, they lost to Cal, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Georgia, Missouri.
They almost beat Missouri.
Well, Brady Cook didn't play for most of the game.
That was another week off for Brady Cook. But
spread on this? Yeah, give me an A&M. And A&M minus 2.5. Let's do it. You can't overlook this game heading into the Texas game, and I think they know that. So, tickets are $19. That's how much Auburn cares about this game. Jesus Christ, dude. Auburn fans. War Eagle, we hear you on the message boards all the fucking time, dude. Now you're not even showing up for this? You got A&M rolling into town in a night game? You don't want a fucking party for this? God damn, dude. That's shocking. Last but not least is Iowa State at Utah. Iowa State minus 7. You know the rules for me. I never bet on Iowa State because they're fucking losers. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
No.
Come on.
No. If Utah wins this game, no shock to me. Every single week with this Iowa State team. No idea, dude.
Does Iowa State still have a shot at the Big 12 championship game?
Yeah, a lot of teams do.
Do they really?
They absolutely do, yeah. So.
I don't know what the tiebreakers would be. Like if Arizona State beats BYU and Colorado happens to lose and it's all two lost teams, I don't know.
You just need Colorado to lose, I think.
BYU's going to lose.
It could.
Colorado would need to lose. Which I don't even know who they play.
Iowa State has not played BYU.
Iowa State has very few common opponents with the people above them.
Yeah.
They haven't played. They do not play Arizona State. They do not play Colorado, and they do not play BYU. So there's no tie break in there.
Yeah. Okay. They still got to play Kansas State.
Yeah. Breaking news here. Yanks. Aaron Judge just won his second MVP in a unanimous vote. Jesus Christ, man.
He's a fraud, too.
Ohtani's got to win in a unanimous, right? Has to be.
Yeah, they'll announce it later today, I think.
Yeah. There's no way. If Judge got a unanimous, he's got to get a unanimous, too, I would think. That's an easy call.
I mean, he went 50-50. If you don't win unanimous from that, what can you win it for?
I agree, dude. I agree. And then, oh, shit. More breaking news here. All right, this is a wild fucking story, actually. So we talked about the number two recruit in the nation at the top of the show, quarterback committing to Colorado. The number one recruit in the nation is a guy named Bryce Underwood, who is the number one quarterback recruit for the class. He just flipped to Michigan from LSU. Now, if you follow Barstool or Dave Portnoy or those guys, they said they would back up the truck and pay this kid $10 million. This kid then reposted his commitment for LSU during that time period. What was the fucking money behind this? Jesus Christ.
Well, he's from Belleville, Michigan.
He is.
Who knows? I mean, have we entered the period where incoming college athletes are going to pit teams against each other? Like, I know I'm going to Michigan, but I'm going to try to get more money by, flirting with LSU. Not a dumb move to make.
It wasn't flirting with LSU. He fully committed to LSU. Yeah, but that
fully committing doesn't mean shit.
No, not anymore. Yeah. And we talked about that at the top of the show, but this was the guy that Portnoy and everybody else was like, fuck it, let's give him $10 million and figure this out and get the number one quarterback in the nation, and they just fucking did it. We've talked about this on the show for weeks and wondered if it would happen. Fucking A, dude. This kid's been committed since January 6th. Obviously, that's our favorite day on this show of this year. And God damn, dude, he's the number one recruit in the nation. Number one quarterback going to Michigan now. Show me the money. I'll make some calls after this. Obviously, we got some NIL deals with Michigan. But, woo, boy, maybe it was us. Maybe it was Hardy himself. There's an NIL going there. We just wrote a big check the other day. Fuck. All right. All right, Bryce Underwood. God damn. He is very good, by the way. I've seen some of his game tape. Shit. Congratulations to Michigan. All right. Wow, that's a fucking shocker, dude, because he literally just posted like 5 days ago he's staying at LSU.
Another breaking news.
What do you got?
Trump has nominated former Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi as the next Attorney General of the United States.
I don't know who that is.
No idea.
I'm sure we'll cover that on tomorrow's show. Well, we have a guest tomorrow?
Yeah, but we'll cover it.
Okay. I know nothing about Pam Bondi.
Me either. So, we've got 24 hours to learn.
Exactly. Interesting. Okay. Thanks for tuning in, kids. Go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star, and you can walk away at that point. And as always, bet with us against us on mybookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Week 13 College Football Prediction Show. Good night, everyone.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.